Scripture comes from John chapter 6, verses 48 through 58. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is the real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever."
Look over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all that I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. 'Cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So won't you reign in me again, Lord? Reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all that I am. So won't you reign in me again, Lord? Reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all that I am. So won't you reign in me again?
The scarlet thread. I think it can be traced in every page of the Bible. It's really a book that has been sealed, signed and sealed in the blood of Jesus, hasn't it? So we're going to look this morning at kind of the culmination of that scarlet thread. Not quite yet, because I want to save that the Easter season coming up just in a couple weeks. But I want to look with you at what Jesus said here in John chapter 6. Now, this was sometime before his death, probably a couple years at least, maybe 3 years. So he had most of his ministry, his earthly ministry, yet ahead of him. And yet he said some things here that were very difficult for those who heard him. And I want us just to focus on these words of Jesus. He said in verse 48 of John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Now that part isn't that difficult. Think about it. What is bread for? Well, obviously it's for eating, consuming. And Jesus gets even more graphic here about that. He's not talking about cannibalism. But there were those who accused him of that and accused the early disciples of actually drinking real blood and eating the flesh. What Jesus was talking about. He was talking about, actually, there's a semblance here. You may know that Jesus spoke in parables a lot. Now, parables are like, I suppose, a little bit like allegories. They're not really allegories, but they are comparisons. Some have described a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He liked to use a lot of figurative language. Now, it's figurative in the literal sense, but it's certainly is real nonetheless, what he is saying here. And we're going to look here at the semblance that Jesus spoke of here. He spoke of himself as the bread of life. Now, bread is our daily food. I think that's all it means. We might not actually eat bread, but we eat food, I hope. I don't think we would be here very long if we did not eat food. And Jesus instructed that when we pray, we are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And so for Jesus to say, I am the bread of life, I think what he was saying is, I am essential. In fact, he said that in other places. He said, for example, no one comes to the Father except through me. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes and lives and believes in me shall never die. Things like that. It sounds like he was saying, I'm essential. Everything else is really non-essential. If we believe what the Bible says about Jesus, he's the creator. Even the Bible says that through him all things were created. He is the second person of the Trinity. That doesn't mean second necessarily in rank, because they are all one: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus had to speak in these terms, I think, so that we could understand what he was saying. He spoke of bread. He spoke of manna. You may remember in the Old Testament, we took a little trip through Exodus, parts of Exodus, the beginning part at least. And I think the ladies' class is studying Exodus now. But it tells about how God provided for this large nation in a desert area where there was no water, there was nothing growing. I suppose the nearest equivalent would be our desert southwest. I mean, this was a desolate place, and yet God provided for a large nation of several million people out in that desert area. Bread from heaven. Manna actually means, what is it? In a way, humorous to me, when they saw it, they didn't even know what it was, so they just named it, whatchamacallit. You know, what is it? We don't know what it is, but it was good. It was angel food. Maybe not like angel food cake. I don't know. It was probably better than angel food cake. But God provided. And Jesus here used that figurative speech. He said, your fathers ate manna in the desert. But he said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. So he used these expressions. And then flesh. He said, this bread is my flesh. Now this is where it gets difficult. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now remember, Jesus had not died yet. He was probably a couple years at least from the cross. And yet he spoke in terms that later perhaps his disciples could understand. But at this time, it was just very difficult for them to understand. And I think it's even difficult for us today to understand what exactly Jesus was saying here. But surely it means his death on the cross for us. And so he spoke of his flesh. I think of that beautiful Psalm 40 where I believe it's Jesus, before he left heaven, he said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. And in John chapter 1, it tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God. So he spoke of a semblance here. He also spoke of a substance. And that substance was spiritual. He said, well, first of all, when Jesus said that, what he said there in verses 48 and following, it says that in verse 52 that at that the Jews argued among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? See, they were thinking in literal terms. Now, literal doesn't mean it's not real. It's spiritual, though. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says the natural man or the natural person receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. So I think it requires that we have faith. Now, not a blind faith. I don't really believe in a blind faith, because it's not blind when we have evidence. And we have evidence of what Jesus was saying. No one ever did what Jesus did. No one ever taught like Jesus taught. No one ever asked the question, who of you can accuse me of sin and not have somebody raise their hand and bring up an issue? I think we see a lot of that in Washington, other places like that, where, you know, supposedly these are people of high moral principle, and we're so, you know, aghast when the inevitable fall comes. Maybe because of human pride, we think, you know, well, that couldn't happen to me. And we become proud, and soon we stumble. But Jesus said that, and not a person could accuse him of a sin, even one sin. And he went to the old rugged cross. He died there. The Bible says as the Lamb of God. He did not complain because it was the Father's will. We read in Isaiah 53, to bruise him. And he died. He was put in a tomb, cold, spear hole in his side, drained the blood from his body. And in three days, he rose again, appeared to his disciples, walked among them. They touched him and handled him. He was real. Again, spiritual doesn't mean it's not real. There's a spiritual dimension that we know little about, but it's just as real as what we see every day. So this, I believe, is what Jesus was saying here, speaking in spiritual truths and sacrificial too, this substance. He is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said that in John 1 and verse 36. Behold, the Lamb of God, he said, who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. We looked a little bit at the Passover, right? How the Israelites were instructed to slay a lamb, and then the family was to gather together that evening and eat the Passover meal. And the blood of that sacrificial lamb was put on the over the door, the lintel and the doorposts of that house, showing that here was a family who believed what God had done, that God had done for them what they could not do for themselves. Now that lamb could never, forever take away sin. The book of Hebrews is really, I think, the book that I want to encourage you to read in the New Testament book of Hebrews, because there it says that the blood of bulls and goats will never, forever take away sin. Only the blood of Jesus could do that. And so Jesus was speaking there in spiritual terms, in sacrificial terms, and also sacramental terms. Now, I want to be careful here, because there are those who believe that the Lord's Supper is a reenactment of the death of Christ upon the cross. But what I understand from the Scriptures is that Jesus died once and for all, never to die again, never to shed that precious blood again. And He took that blood, according to the book of Hebrews, to heaven when He ascended, and He presented it on the mercy seat in heaven. And that's the sacrament. That's what we need. That a sacrament means something that makes us holy, that makes us sacred, that makes us acceptable to God. And that's what Jesus was talking about here. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. So there's a semblance here that we can learn from. There's a substance, but there's also a sustenance. In verse 55, Jesus said, my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. I think only those who have come to faith in Jesus have taken that step of faith, perhaps even timidly or uncertainly, but just by trial even, have said to Jesus, come into my life. I recognize that in God's economy there are many things in this universe I don't understand. But in God's economy, according to your Bible, you required the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. And I'm so thankful it's not my blood that has to be shed. It was Jesus that paid it all. That's what Jesus, I believe, was saying. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And it's continual. He said, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And I think the Lord's Supper is very important. And I suppose this might have been more appropriate for the Sunday that we observe the Lord's Supper. But I don't really think that's what Jesus was talking about. I think He was talking about His death on the cross. You may remember the thief on the cross. He didn't have the opportunity to be baptized or to be to partake of the Lord's Supper. But yet he, I think, understood, or would have understood, and I think one day we'll have a chance to talk to Him when we get to heaven, what Jesus was meaning here. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood. I mean, he saw Jesus right next to him, being crucified, praying for his enemies, praying for himself. When he prayed, Father, forgive me, for they know not what they do. Because he was blaspheming. He was cursing Christ. And yet he saw this man who had to be more than a man to endure what he had to endure. And he realized that it was really that death of this holy victim, this Lamb of God, that atoned for his sins. And I think every day we need that blood. Doesn't the Bible say that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? The blood of Jesus, it says there in 1 John, cleanses us from all sin. Without the blood, there's no cleansing. And so we need that blood day by day, because that blood speaks not only for past sins and present sins that we commit, but even those sins that we will commit, that we don't even know we're going to commit. It's continual. That walk that we have with our Lord, and he will walk with us, and He will cleanse us by His precious blood. It speaks continually, that blood that He presented on the mercy seat in heaven speaks continually for our sins. Does it not make us realize how wondrous is the cross, the blood that Jesus shed for us? How priceless, how precious. It will revolutionize our lives if we will just think about these things. And His blood that was shed for us is real, it's continual, it's eternal. He said, your forefathers, this is in verse 58, your forefathers ate manna but died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Feeding on Jesus. We need Him every day. When Jesus said, instructed us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, can you not think of Jesus when you hear that? Perhaps, hopefully forever, ever from now, you think it's that bread that Jesus spoke of. We need Him every day. We need Him every hour. I want to encourage you to invite Him into your life, to commit your life to Him, to recommit your life to Him if you've already trusted Him as your Savior, to take that other step of obedience that He wants you to take. And may we each of us be introspective, look into our own hearts and ask God, Lord, what would You have me to do? I want to be right with You. I don't want to profane that precious blood of Christ. And so take my life, make it an offering of praise to You.